The first two verses introduces our thought for this evening. Paul says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." I talked about grace even this morning, even though that was not my subject, but it's been included in the thoughts that I was sharing this morning of what a gracious God is and how he has blessed us with his grace. So tonight, I continue to talk about grace because we have so much to be thankful to God for because of his grace. Though we did not deserve it, but because of his love and mercy, he bestows his blessing of grace upon all who will put their trust in him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible even teaches us that in Christ lay all the fullness of God. And God is a God of grace. So then, all the blessings of God can be reached in his grace. What then, this evening, are some of the blessings of God's grace? I want to share four blessings of God's grace with us this evening. Number one, no one is outside of the rim of God's grace. That's a great blessing. There are some things in life that some of us, and sometimes maybe even all of us, there are some things in life that we just cannot participate in. The outside of our rim. But grace is not one of those things. God's grace is available to everybody. Nobody stands outside of the umbrella of God's grace. Well, when Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2 in verse number 11, he said this, "For the grace of God," he says, "that bringeth salvation has appeared unto" who? All men. Everybody comes under the umbrella of God's grace. And that grace, as we know so well, I'm sure, came to us from God through or by Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, after he had began chapter 1 talking about the Word and describing who the Word was, he gets down to verse number 14 and he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and" what? Truth. Jesus Christ is full of grace, and certainly he is full of truth. Skip down a couple of more verses, or three verses, in verse number 17. He says this, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So grace then is made available to everyone, and it came by Jesus Christ. And because of that grace, man can be forgiven of his or her sin. When John saw him one day in John chapter 1 and verse 29, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So God has made his grace available to everyone. That is a blessing. And it was made available to everyone because God didn't want anyone to be lost. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. That's why he made his grace available to everybody, so everybody could be saved. And so when Christ died on the cross, he died not just for one, not just for two, not just for most, but he died for everybody. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, the writer says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Aren't you glad that Jesus tasted death for every man? Not only just for those in our day and time, or for those in New Testament times, but Jesus tasted death for those even before the New Testament was ratified by his blood. In Old Testament times, the Hebrew writer tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, that his blood goes back and takes care of those under the Old Testament. Listen to what the writer says in Hebrews 9 and verse number 15. He says, and for this cause, he's talking about Jesus Christ, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were where? Under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So in Old Testament times, they also would come under God's grace. When Jesus died on the cross, their sins could be forgiven. So again, we ought to be so thankful tonight that God has blessed us with the availability of his grace, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need the grace of God. But as I've said already, as I began tonight, I said that God's grace, or God's blessing of grace, is bestowed upon all who will put their trust in him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That statement that I'm making is that simply because God's grace is available does not automatically mean that we benefit from it. We've got to put our trust in Jesus Christ through obedient faith, so that we can receive the benefit of God's grace that was made available to everybody. So then, the Bible teaches us that we need to be very careful that that umbrella of grace that extends to us, that is not extended out there in vain for us. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1 and 2. He says this, when are we then rather as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in what? Vain. We know what vain means, don't we? There's no benefits, there's no profit in this thing if we receive it in vain. For he says, verse 2, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, faith need to be put in Jesus Christ so that we can receive the benefits of the grace of God. So again, we're thankful tonight that God has blessed us with the availability of grace, because without grace, where would we be tonight? We would have no hope without the grace of God. Blessing number 2, the word of grace allows us to be justified by faith. The word justify means to declare guiltless or to show without blame. And God's word is described as the word of grace. Listen to what Paul said to those Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." That's simply saying is that we got God's word because of his grace. Again, if it had not been for his grace, we never would have gotten his word. So it's called the word of grace. He loved us enough, didn't want us to be lost. And so therefore, he gives us his word so that we can know what to do to please him, so that we can see his face in peace. Thank God for the word of his grace. So Paul says again, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." So the word of grace then allows us to be justified by faith. It gives us, as the Bible says, an inheritance. We are saved by grace through faith. Through faithful obedience, we are justified. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 again teaches us, "Therefore, being justified by faith." We're justified. We're declared righteous or guiltless because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Are we guilty? Yes, indeed. We're guilty. But we are declared not guilty because of our faith and our obedience to Jesus Christ. Thank God, then, that he provides that justification to us because of his grace. Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. And Paul gives us, by inspiration, an analogy of this justification when he talked about Abraham's faith. In Romans chapter 4, in verses 20 beginning, he says, "He staggered not at the promise." Abraham had been promised a son. And of course, we know we read that in the book of Genesis. So Paul is reminding these Roman Christians of what it really means to be justified by faith. He says, "Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness." That word imputed means it was put on his account. He was made righteous because of his faith in Jesus Christ. It was imputed to him for righteousness. And then he says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our," what? "Justification." So when we put our faith in Jesus, our obedient faith in Jesus, then Christ's resurrection justifies us, but all of that happens because of the grace of God. Because if it had not been for the grace of God, then Jesus never would have been made available to us to die on the cross. So since God gave us his son to die on the cross, we become benefactors, of his grace. And therefore, we can be justified, we can be declared righteous, it can be put on our account that we are righteous individuals because we have faith in a risen Jesus Christ. So then, the word of grace allows us to be justified by faith. And if we are not justified, we'll never be able to stand guiltless in the sight of God. We'll never be able to stand righteous in the sight of God. We need to be justified. And all of that happens because of grace. But then there's a third blessing of grace that we want to remind us of tonight. As a result of grace, we can have peace with God. Look at what the text says again in Romans chapter 5. Therefore being justified, this is verse 1 again. Therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell us this evening that we desperately need peace with God. If there's anybody we need peace with, we need peace with God. Because at one time, the Bible declares that we were enemies with God. And we know what an enemy is. An enemy is somebody that is against somebody else. That's what an enemy is. At one time, because of our sin, we were against God. Paul said to the church at Rome again, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, he says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Christ came to reconcile us back to God. But again, it all goes back to grace. That's a blessing of grace. If it had not been for grace, he never would have come to make reconciliation possible between us and God. And the word reconciliation means simply to bring back together. That which is estranged, that which is separated, to bring back together, to make peace again. So if we were enemies then, that means in order to get on good terms with God, we had to be reconciled, and it could only happen because of the grace of God through the death of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came then that we might be reconciled to God. Listen to what the Bible says. Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God. He's speaking of Jew and Gentile in Bible times again. There were Jew and Gentile, which included the whole race of all races of the world. Jew and Gentile. So he said that he might reconcile or put back together or make peace both unto God in one body. And this is a key point. Reconciliation only takes place in one body. And that body is the church. And he has only one church. That's the only place we can be made friends again with God, is in that one body that Jesus died for on the cross. So he says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Not only with God, but also with man also. Ephesians 2 and verse number 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Thank God for the reconciliation that we can have in the one body because of the grace of our God that he extended or shed upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God. And I'm talking about the true peace, and that's what we need. That true peace can only be found in Christ Jesus. John said by inspiration when he recorded the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse number 27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus says, I give you a different kind of peace than the world gives you. The world gives you this kind of peace. If I can agree with you, Brother Malone, and you agree with me, we can have peace. That's the world's kind of peace. But Jesus says, I give you a different kind of peace. Whether anybody agrees with me or with you or not, if we agree with God, we have peace. And that's the real peace that counts. So we need to always be thankful to God that we can have peace with him if we never have peace with anybody else. Now, I remind you that we are still admonished to strive to have peace with one another. But it may not always be possible. If it's not possible, if we do our part, we'll have peace with God. So I say to us again that that peace is made available because of Jesus Christ. That's a blessing of grace. If it were not for grace, then we would not have that opportunity to have peace. And the last and the fourth blessing that I want to share with you this evening is that because of grace, we can now rejoice in hope. Look at the scripture again, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says that you are standing in this grace. And in this grace, you are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. If it were not for grace, again, we could have no hope in the glory of God. You see, grace teaches us in Titus chapter 2 that we are to look for that blessed hope. Titus 2 verse 11 again, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking, the Bible says, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters? It's the hope of salvation. If it were not for the grace of God, we could not tonight have the hope of salvation. And so the Bible says, as Paul wrote to Titus again in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That promise came as a result of God's grace. Thank God for that promise, or for that hope of salvation. And that hope was revealed at the coming of Christ Jesus and his dying upon the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a what? Lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But again, all of this would not have been possible if it had not been for the grace of God. I'm talking about blessings of God's grace. And when he made that promise, we can be sure, we can be certain that that promise will come to pass, that that hope will be realized. For the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, he says, without wavering, without doubting. Why, Lord? For he is faithful, that promise. God promised us. He's going to make his promise good. Christ even promised us that he was going to come again and receive us unto himself, based on the fact, of course, that we're faithful unto him. When he says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's one witness that he's coming. But the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. There's another witness by the angels. As Jesus was leaving this earth, departing out of the sight of his apostles, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9 beginning, the Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus, not another one, but the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus says he's coming back. Two men, two angels, says he's coming back. That meets the biblical test in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So we not have just two, we got three witnesses that says he's coming. That assures me then that I can be certain that God's promise of eternal salvation that he promised before the world began, it can be realized. But it can only be realized because of his grace. Thank God, then, for the blessings of grace. If it were not for his grace, then, as we've talked about in these verses tonight, there would be no justification. If it were not for his grace, there would be no peace with God. And if it were not for his grace, there would be no hope of salvation. And as Paul would say to those Corinthian Christians when he was talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, he said this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We'd be in a miserable state if we couldn't be justified. We'd be in a miserable state if we couldn't have peace with God. We'd be in a miserable state if we couldn't have hope. But we can have all of those things because of God's grace. Thank God tonight for the blessings of his grace. God is a good God, as we said this morning. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He has our best interests at heart. So we ought to thank him. We ought to praise him. We ought to obey him. Live for him each and every day of our lives. To let him know how we appreciate how he loved us and how he gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. He can help us tonight, but we got to put our faith and our trust in him.